Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. This is the second in a new series sermon that we started last week. And we're just going to just get the title just to be cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. Cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. Amen. We need that intense desire. Yes, first of all, let's just get the desire and then let's make it in with great intensity. Yes. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hold on one second. So I have here, just for purpose of discussion, because I want you to think it through. I have here acquiring and activating and cultivating an intense desire for the Word of God. I put all that in there for the purpose of discussion. Because I want you to understand something. Because when we consistently and continually struggle in our lives, we struggle mentally, it's going to struggle verbally, and then action-wise. When we do that, recognize that there's something going on concerning where our focus is. Does that make sense? There's something going on where our focus is, and we're going to get into that in a moment. But there's something going on where our focus is, and that's what is being revealed, I like to think, to the people of God. Now, for our foundation text, but it's going to be a minute before we get to it eventually, but for our foundation text, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for, desire, crave the pure spiritual milk. That's the ESV, or the pure spiritual, or the pure milk of the word. Others have, because the word spiritual can either be the word. It's all the same, but it means word. Logikon is the word, is the Greek word, and it means word. It means reasonable, because speech comes from that which is in the mind. And so this word spiritual and spiritual, then what's in the mind then is more the spirit of the man. So that word is interpreted many ways in a sense, but it's all related to speech and word. So some said long for the pure spiritual milk. Some said long for the pure milk of the word. So that all mean the same. Here's the reason that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 2 is what we're focusing on. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. We're going to get into that in depth, but that's our foundation text. Mm-hmm. That is a command, so it's present, active. Matter of fact, it's not present, it's aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T. It's aorist, active, imperative. Aorist means in the Greek that it is a command that is to be obeyed once and for all. So you have to make up in your mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, faith in the Son of God, that I'm going to have an intense desire for the word. That's what it's eros. Active, you must do it. Command means that it is to be done. I'm commanding you to do this. Now, I don't know if we understand that or not, but that's a command to have an intense desire for the word. How many of us are not obeying that command? You have to raise your hand. Well, we got problems right there. That should locate a lot of people. That is a command. Having said that, let's go back to the title. I added these two words for conversation. Think about it. The title is Cultivating an Intense Desire for the Word. Since we just read the command in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we just read this command, then we need to do that, find out how to do that. How to cultivate, we're going to get in that word too. How are we to do this, to get this intense desire? Well, before that, I put here acquiring and then activating and cultivating. Because I want the saints of God to know that if you are born again, if you are saved, if you are regenerated, if you your sins have been remitted, the blood of Jesus has been applied, so now, has been applied to your life. Then, that's still the first word, acquiring, right? Which means to get possession of, to obtain, to gain possession of. As Christians, thank you, Lord, while we take our real good time, I want to clarify this. We have the ability, you feel me? To have an intense desire for the word. We have the ability. We have the ability. And that was given to us when we were born again. The sinner cannot have any desire for the word, let alone an intense desire. But us being born again, we have the ability to have an intense desire. All right? So the ability has already been acquired, if you will. So now the next thing we must do, I put up here, we must activate it. Get into operation. It's like, again, having a chainsaw. And all you have to do is just start her up and press thing and get it going. But until you do that, the chainsaw just laying there. Our desire, you know, the ability to desire the word of God, and too many Christians are just laying there, just laying in their lives. You're able to do it. But a lot, many Christians, millions, who don't even know that even is a command that we are to desire the word of God with great intensity. Don't even know it. You have to be told that. And then once you're told, then you gotta, okay, let me put this in motion. Okay, I got understanding. I was just told that I'm born again. Meaning that my spirit has been raised from the dead. I've been taken from the kingdom of darkness and been transferred into the kingdom of light. I'm alive. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:1 says that you who were dead in our trespasses, verse 5, rather, hath he quickened, King James, hath he made alive. Amen. So we are now the recipient of the greatest miracle that can ever happen to a human being, and that is that their spirit is raised from the dead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. And in this new life comes the possibility and the ability and the capability to have an intense desire for God's word, or else he would not, as you read with your own eyes, commanded that to be the case. That's a command, not a suggestion. So it's my duty as pastor to give you, let you know, inform you that it is a command, number one. Then number two, then how do we get it going? How do we get it started? How do we cultivate this? Now that word cultivate, I want you to look at this. And when you have to, not have to, when you feel it's necessary, and I do, to even explain the words in the title, it's necessary. So cultivate, I don't know why they went that small. Cultivate, okay, means to promote the growth, development, and improvement of your desire. So you understand? So your desire, it starts. Okay, I got a desire. Lord, it's in me. Show me how to get it in motion. And once I do that, then I want my desire to grow and develop and improve so that it becomes an intense desire. So it's stages. Are you following me? It's stages. The command is to have an intense desire. Wait till I get into what the word, what the ESV says, long for, others say desire, but that word has a lot to it. Epipateo, it's a compound Greek word, has a lot to that. So that's, but part of that is intense desire. Well, that has to happen through some cultivation. It has to grow and develop and improve. It means to devote time and thought to assist the growth of. Uh-oh, time and thought. So it's not going to just happen automatically. You got to put the work in. Amen. And the hardest job, part of that work that it is going to be getting your flesh under control. Amen. Because your flesh, there's going to be times where your flesh just does not want to get into the word. There'll just be times of that where we're not want to get into the word. And I try to be as transparent with you in the 20, almost 21 years of pastoring. I've tried to be very transparent with you, let you know that I too have challenges of sometimes not my flesh when I don't want to get into the word. So if I, your pastor, I'm telling you that, then trust and believe that I'm in the fight with you, just like you. Amen. And just because I am a teaching pastor, and that is my assignment, and will be, I believe, until the day I leave this earth, does not mean that I don't have to continue to devote where we have time and thought to assist the growth of my intense desire.
Amen.
I got to fight it too. Yeah. I want to sit down and watch a movie when I need to be studying. I love movies. I enjoy them. Love my chess. Love my golf. Love them. But there are times that I'm not to do those things, that I am to study. And when that mandate is on me, you just study as a lifestyle, but for me, I have to study even more because of the teaching pastor. But there are times when I'm called to study extra and my flesh doesn't feel like it, I gotta fight it. That's when 2 Corinthians 6 comes in, fight the good fight of faith. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. Because it's a battle.
Yeah.
It's real out there, man. Yeah, this ain't gonna happen over this. You gotta devote time and thought. It's gotta be intentional. There are times you just got to put down what you really, really, really want to do and what you really, really, really rather do. There are times I want to do anything but study. Just being real with you. But I thank God. And I can tell you from experience that if you use the power of the Holy Spirit, the resident power that lives inside of you, you can win that temptation. Yeah. For there is no temptation such as common to man that is taking you.
Yeah.
That, I'm sorry, that's not common to man. In other words, everybody else has gone through it. But God is faithful, I'm kind of butchering it. Who will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond your ability to endure, but will with that temptation make a way to escape, drop away, foxhole, drop down, get a minute of breathing, a time out right quick, and then put you right back into the game that you may be able to bear it. And I push through. And I pull out the computer, turn off everything, and then go ahead and start typing on those keys as I hear Holy Spirit. Researching and studying and so forth. You got to fight. And the tense desire is not something that comes just automatic, not with the things of this world, and not as worldly as we, as too many of us are, some of the people of God.
Amen.
We're too carnal, we're too flesh ruled. Saved, but flesh ruled.
Yeah.
Saved, but just letting that flesh run too many things.
Yes.
I'm trying to get some of y'all just, hey, just give me 15. Give him 15 minutes. Start there, then go to half hour. And it's not really the length of time per se, it's the lifestyle. You may hear 15 minutes of word and meditate the other 24 hours, 23 hours and 45 minutes. It's about getting it on your word, getting it in your mind so it gets down in here so that you become like a sponge filled with water. And the slightest pressure on that sponge, out comes water.
Amen. Thank you.
The slightest pressure on a Christian, out comes the word. Out comes the word. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
That comes with time and thought. It's purposeful. It's intentional. That's why the Holy Ghost chose the word cultivating. Cultivating. Developing, growing, promoting. The rest of that says time and thought to assist the growth of, to improve or develop by careful attention, training and study, careful attention, careful training, and careful study is how you cultivate your desire. Careful. Then I use a key word in here, to improve or develop. So I just said, let's break that one down. Develop means to bring out the capabilities. Remember we said that you're inside. What's inside of you if you're born again? The ability and the capability to desire the word intently. So develop means to bring out those capabilities or possibilities. Bring to a more advanced or effective state, because right now it's laying dormant. For some, and too many, to cause to grow, promote the growth, both of them, grow, and become more mature. And here's some synonyms, to grow, evolve, mature, expand, enlarge, advance, progress, prosper, and eventually succeed. All of that under cultivating. An intense desire. Not just desire. Intense desire. Makes sense, word of life?
Amen.
Reviewing from last week, we talked about why we're going over this. Because I am your shepherd. I'm your under shepherd. Acts 20, 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. That's a command for pastors. Pay attention to yourselves first. Let's break that down. To pay attention to yourself means Get your mind right.
Yeah.
Between the ears. Once you keep that under control, you're going to affect what you say. It's going to affect what you say. You're going to keep your speaking right. And the Word of God, James 3, I think it is, lets us know, 3:1, I think, lets us know that when you control your mouth, you can control your entire body. So when I have to pay attention to myself, it's going to start between the ears. Because that's where success or failure happens. Long before it's either spoken or acted on. Failure happens here. Case in point. Eve in the garden, Genesis 3. We think that the sin was her, the commission of the act. She sinned before she ever committed it because she, here, when she did not say, devil, you a liar, get up out of here. I know what my father done told me, get out. But when she started saying, oh yeah, well, matter of fact, you know, man, you know, you start listening. We just read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. She walked in the counsel of Satan. She listened. And here is where that fortress was built. She sinned here. And then just carried it out here. Remember, Jesus said, you look on a woman of lust. You already committed sin. Long before you do the act. He said, if you're angry with your brother, he said, don't murder. But God, the Lord knows, murder just didn't happen. No, here. You got angry, you thought about it, and then boom, you committed it. So Jesus goes inward. So when he says, pay attention to yourself, he's telling the pastor, I better get myself together right. And just don't mess up. Because you can't afford it.
Don't mess up.
So notice the order. Matter of fact, I'm saying that let's turn there. I was going to just slide through it, but let's turn to Acts 20, verse 28. I know this is review, but amen. Acts 20, 28. Glory be to God. Look at the order that he commands his pastors. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves, pastor, and then to all the flock. Because he knows that if the pastor's not right, how can he pay careful attention to the flock when he's out of control? It just breaks my heart and disturbs my spirit deeply when I see these pastors just go out and commit adultery and all heinous sins and go right back into the pulpit.
Right back in.
When the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 9, 27 and 28, that when you've done this, you are disqualified.
And you teach it. Yes, sir.
You can't be in the game anymore. Y'all know it. You're technical foul, you get disqualified. You're out the game. You can't go back in. And thinking of the basketball analogy or football, you know, because of the targeting rule, if you lead with your head and you mean you launch and so forth into the player and you hit them in various areas, they call it targeting. Well, if they deem that it's targeting, you're out of the game. How come but you fighting, cussing, fuss, you're not going back in that game? Now, the only difference is that the referee has said, you're out of the game. He told the pastor, you're done. But they said, I'm going back in. I ain't losing my congregation. I ain't losing my status. When he says, you're disqualified. Why? Why does that happen? Here. Here. It starts here. Every sin starts here. Pay attention to yourselves. That's a message to me, Pastor Gregory Thomas Harris. You pay attention to yourself first and foremost. And I fight with me every day. And I don't understand my folks running around and trying to help everybody else. Help yourself. Oh, get that one. You've been in 2 minutes and you know, I'm thinking about this one particular gentleman. Sit down. I remember, see, I had the helpings. That's a disease called the helpings. You just can't help it to help everybody else. And so for 9 years, I was in pastoring. I was pastoring in ministry in the 80s, 1980, early 89. out of the will of God, trying to help somebody else. And I told you, God honored the word, because the word is full of power. Remember, the people are the power. I said that before. I'm out of God's will because I'm teaching the word. Look what I did do. I taught the word. Marriages were getting healed. Young man on crack got delivered without any rehab. Amen. Got back with his wife. Just teaching the word. I'm wrong. We got to hear God. And I love the order through from the Holy Spirit through Dr. Luke to us in the book of Acts. So pay attention. Careful attention. First, to yourselves, Pastor. Then, to all the flock. So once I get, continue to pay careful attention, and that's a fight every day. It's all day, every day. We said we think, we probably thinking 20, 30, 40,000 thoughts per day. And there's no way that you can pay careful attention to all of those thoughts. You speak, some say 25, 30, some even more, 30, 40. Just think, those are the thoughts you spoke. Because remember, everything you speak, first you got to think. Your mind don't have a mind of its own. As people don't, before I knew it, I said, no, it's impossible. Then there are other thoughts beyond that that you didn't speak. Add another 5, 10, 15, 20 to that one. Range of 25, 30,000, 40,000 thoughts, and you have to analyze every single one. Not you, but the Holy Spirit in you. Because you can't. It's way beyond our pay grade. But the Holy Ghost can. Don't speak that. Don't say that. Stop thinking that. Say that. Think that. Keep thinking on that. See, you drifting.
Amen.
He's telling you, you're drifting.
Amen.
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 He's telling you, you're drifting. You know you're drifting.
Amen.
We say, yeah, man, but I'm drifting to where I want to go, though. I like drifting. Because I'd rather be over here. I don't want to hear no word. I want to hear this. Shake your groove thing. Pray for me, Alexis. Pray for me. Let's be real. We like drifting. And if we don't fight, we don't keep him. That's a command too. Fight the good fight. Fight. You got to buffet your body. You got to bruise your body. That's boxing talk. And beat it black and blue. And make it. Make it yourself. It's not going to automatically just bow down and come up under your authority. You have to subdue that fool. Or else he will run you. And take you where you don't want to be and keep you there longer than you plan to stay. Our flesh is an unruly evil. It's the dark guest within. It's a beast if you don't keep him under control. I know. I'm not crazy. I wasn't born a Christian.
Amen.
I know y'all seen me the last 20 years as a pastor, but I was not born a pastor. And I still have flesh. I know y'all put us on a higher pedestal. We talked about that yesterday. But, I ain't tripping on that. That's just the way it is. I ain't tripping on it. It is what it is. I'm not going to say, well, it's unfair. You shouldn't do that to me. Whatever. Just don't mess up. You got to worry about it. Right. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Preach hard series like you don't have to sing.
Amen.
And stand in flat footed and teach it and preach it and then go out and live it.
That's right.
Pastors need to pay attention to themselves more.
Oh, yes.
So that they can effectively pay attention to the flock.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Wow. Having said all of that, the whole thing was, the reason we're going over this was, is because of the second part of that, pay attention to yourself and to all the flock. I'm here to protect the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made me the overseer, Acts 20:28. I told you I didn't jump up here and there, not this time. Before I just went, this time I was sent. Amen?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer. To care for the church of God. That's you. But look at this. Comma. Which he, Christ Jesus, our Lord, obtained and purchased with his own blood. Me
It is a serious business.
Amen.
And that's why when the Lord God Almighty, my chief shepherd, our chief shepherd, I'm just an under shepherd to the chief, when he says, tell my people this, you tell them.
Amen.
That's overseeing the flock. That's paying careful attention to the flock. That's caring for the flock. Hebrews 13, please. Still reviewing. We just don't let the Lord be God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to let the Lord be God. Hebrews 13. I just love that there's nobody over my head saying, you on this subject too long.
Hey.
I love that. God is my superintendent.
Yeah.
He's my, principal, putting in teacher talk. He lets me know. He gives me the assignment, the lesson plans, and how long to teach it. Thank God Almighty for that. Hebrews 13, did I tell you 17?
No.
Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. We won't go over this too long, for that would be unprofitable or of no advantage to you. Obey them. Trust us. Have confidence in us. That's what the word patho, Greek, means. To depend on, to endorse, approve of, to consent to authority. Your leaders. And remember, these are the leaders from Acts 20, 28, who says, where the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, not just anybody.
Amen.
And it says, why? He says, obey your leaders and submit to them. That's present imperative. Obey, both of them are present imperative, meaning keep on obeying and keep on submitting to your leaders. Look at this. Submit means to yield to authority and admonition, to both parts. Yield to the authority of the pastor, but yield to the admonition, because the pastor has to warn, and he has to rebuke,
Amen.
And he has to reprimand. That word, submit, covers all of that. Amen. He says, submit to them, the leaders. Why? Because we represent God here on earth. Then he says, why? Because they are keeping watch over your souls. That's our job. Acts 20:28 called them bishop. That's the word for bishop, episkopos. It means to watch over, watch out, overseer. Unfortunately, they turned bishop into an exalted title. But in God's word, not in man's denominational word, but in God's word, it simply means that we ought to watch over you very carefully. The word skopos, scope, like to scope, to watch out. You put the preposition epi in front of that, then it intensifies it. So we're to really pay careful and close attention and watch closely over you. And remember, we talked about the word, for their keeping watch means to be sleepless, to keep awake for the purpose of watching, to be alert, to be on the lookout, to make every effort to learn of what might be a potential threat to the people of God. That is why I am closely watching out for that. I got to look at and listen to and watch over phrases are, what terminology, what movement is out there now?
Hello.
Okay, we went through the social justice with Black Lives Matter. We went through anti-racism. Went through all of those terms. Like, what else is out there now? I must be aware of that and look at this as a potential threat. Here's the great coach, my coach. I'm the under coach to you. Hear my coach say, I need you to attack that. Because I don't know what you know. I can't answer why they haven't heard that. Well, they might hear tomorrow. And truly, I've had that happen many, many times where Something was brought up, and then the very next day, on the job, boom, that situation, and they knew how to handle it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
So when we talk about keeping watch, it means to stay awake. It means constant watchfulness, looking for anything that may come into the flock and damage the flock. This is a serious, serious, serious job. I don't recommend it to anyone unless God has equipped you, anointed you, and appointed you to do this. Because it's too serious. I can see why pastors fail at this, because it takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of study. It's like you're writing, like this the one we just, we can finish a whole bunch of them in a minute. Some was in the 70s as far as pages, 50s as far as pages, 80s as far as pages, like a ran the 80 page dissertation with deep research and all of that. But you know what? That's my job. And if I shortchange that, I damage you.
Yes.
You who were purchased by His blood. You can best believe that. I'm not finna face that. Excuse my F-I-N-N-A, but I'm not finna face that. All because I want to watch a movie.
Thank you.
Or play some golf. Or play some chess. Are you serious? Put up with that guilt and pain and shame. And not to mention, because you did know something, it may cost you your very life. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
My father died for a lack of knowledge concerning fasting. It cost him his life, literally. That's not dramatic. That's not over. That's fact. We have a job to do. I hate irreverence in the pulpit. I hate it with a passion. Be respectful. Recognize that you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And do that thing like it's supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. Preachers come up and pastors come up in the pulpit. They think they want to do stand-up comedy. It's my time to shine. You know, I really want to go into, stand-up comedy. So I'll go into the pastoring and then I can get my groove on that way. Really? You really want to stand in that pulpit for that? We're watching for souls.
Hey.
And notice though, he said we watch for your souls. The real you, not a body. He mentioned souls. The real you. When your body gives out, that separates from that body, that's you, the spirit part. We watch for that. That's one reason why you got to be in church. Because if I don't ever see you, how can I watch for you? And yet I am to watch for your souls.
Amen.
I love you. I tell you that. I care for you deeply. I hurt when you hurt. When you're not right, Lord lets me know. I'm not an hireling. Somebody who's passing through. I thank God for that. He's given me a real heart for His people.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I thank God for that. Yeah. Yeah, I really am. I'm deeply grateful for that. Because we're humans too. We're selfish. We can be, our selfishness can rise up. And so in order to be pastoring, you really need to really, really keep your selfishness in check. So that you can truly love God's people. You're not my people. This is not my church. I've told you that ad nauseum.
Amen.
This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He purchased with His own blood.
Amen.
This is serious business. And when I see irreverence in the pulpit,
could you try again?
When I see irreverence in the pulpit, it breaks my heart. I said that person doesn't know. They don't understand what they're getting into. Glory be to God. We watch for your souls. Now he gives the last command to the congregation. Verse, he said, let them do this as those who have to give an account. I'm sorry, let them do this. Oh, it says, watch for your souls. As those who have to give an account. Look, I got a report to the Lord Jesus Christ, my chief shepherd, about how I'm treating you and how you respond to what I'm telling you. Then he commands you all, the congregation, let them, the pastors, give this account and watch over you. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. So it's your responsibility to go ahead and submit to the authority here as unto the Lord. As I said last week, that I would never ask you or advise you or counsel you against something that's outside of the Word of God.
Amen.
We'll never do that. And if I even a hint of it, I even tell you, I will get back with you. That's not right. Because I have a chief shepherd. We have a chief shepherd who's watching over everything that I'm doing.
Amen.
And when he says, Gregory Thomas Harris, come here, boy. You know, when your mom and your daddy tell you that, boy, you're like, oh, Lord. And I'm saying my whole name. I might be in some trouble now. You know. But when the Lord tells me that, let me give him an account. And I need y'all to help me. Because this is a command to you all. It says, you all are commanded. That's a command. It said, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, because that would be unprofitable for you. The comment again on that is that he said it is the responsibility of the church to help the leaders rule with joy and satisfaction. One way of doing this is through willing submission of their authority. The joy of our leaders in the Lord should be a motivation for submission. We are not to submit begrudgingly or out of feeling of compulsion, but willingly, so that our elders and pastors may experience joy in their work with us. I need that. I would love that. And you can best believe, I'd like to think that I've never abused my authority over you in any way, shape, or form. I hope not. If you do, then you need to holler at me, because it was never, ever my intent to do that. Never. But I have to let you know the hard things and things of that nature, because again, that admonition and warning is part of my duties. And you all know, I'm about to say, as a parent, if you're only telling your child, you know, cotton candy stuff all the time and desserts and cakes and that. What about when the vegetables gonna come in? So, son, you need to stop doing it. You need to, okay, well, son, that's all right, this and the other. You gotta, like, well, you can't do that. Don't you talk to your mother that way. I know, she's not like that, but I did punch Brianna, though, but she was about 7 years old. Julian, I did. I let her have it, but. I mean, they might have, but you know, but she's a great girl. I look at the result. It wasn't a you. Fella, take. Woo! Fella just shook his head and lowered his eyes. Woo! Wee! Glenda Jean, she spoke wrong to my queen. No child is supposed to be okay, too. No child should be out of order to no parents. You don't speak like you done lost your mind. Are you crazy? You've lost your mind speaking your mother that way. And I understand the order. The order is my wife and then the children. You better know it. And I told Brooke and Brianna over and over again, they knew that their mother in order what she came before them.
Amen.
See, the world will tell you, you listen to the interviews and read, you know, you'll have a married, now that I understand, it's embarrassing to hear when they say, oh, my children, they're my world. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's the right, chopped liver? I mean, what is it? She's sitting right there.
Yeah.
But it's accepted in the world. Love not the world. Do not be conformed to the world. So you hear that, the old ball and chain, hate that. Refer to your wife as the wife. She's my wife, not the. I hate all that.
Brainwashed,
big fella. We have been brainwashed. Yeah, you don't talk to your mother that way. And that happened one time. That happened one time. That's all. That's it. One time. Bluja. That's spelled B-L-O-O-O-O-U-U-U-G-H-S-H-A-J-A. You gonna respect your mother. And the word of God says, spare not for their crying. Meaning it's for the hurt. Now, I don't recommend hitting your daughter in the chest with your fist. But if you know how to not hit them too hard, I may recommend it. She said, oh my God. She said, oh my God. But Brianna is tremendous. She's a tremendous woman of God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We got to see it. My nephew up close when we went out there, just saw her. Just, you talking about a good report. See, remember, let your light so shine before
me.
Yeah, the Lord. That they may see. Yeah. You should better, they ain't gonna see it. And it's being seen, whether it's on the campus or at the church. They just love us, the elders, pastors, or college administrators. They love her. Absolutely. You gotta discipline your children.
Yes, you do.
And I have to discipline you because, spiritually speaking, I'm your parent. Apostle Paul called Timothy his son in the Lord.
Yes, sure.
So you are my sons and daughters, and I'm your father. If all I tell you is things that you want to hear, I'm no good for you. I'm damaging you.
Amen.
In Proverbs says, if you don't with your child, you hate your child. It says that, literally in the Bible. You hate your child. So if I don't tell you, hey, your thinking is wrong, that's thinking. That you shouldn't think that. And tell you about these things and let you know that this is different from that and all the subtleties. I must do that or else I'm not worth my weight in salt, as they say. That's why it says that you got to submit to the admonitions and the warnings and the rebukes. I got to do that. I must do that. I better do that.
Amen.
I don't ever want you to come back to me and say, man, why don't you tell me that? And the answer is worse. I don't ever want to answer by saying, well, I knew it, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I'm going to be on the ground. I should be on the ground because you ought to be like,
amen.
Right away. Without even, and they go, oops, I shouldn't hit him, but he deserved it.
Hey.
You follow me? Yes. Yeah, you should be busting right in the head. You knew this and you didn't tell me because you didn't want to hurt my feelings? It's too. My father is dead because of that, a lack of knowledge. And if somebody knew it and didn't tell him, let me go find him. And they probably did too, because that was back in the early 60s. So you better, Pastor, we better get it out there. And let the hurt feeling be hurt. And my wife said, you'll get over it. You get over it. What you won't get over is if you die because of it or get seriously injured or damaged because of something that I knew to tell you and didn't tell you because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. You don't need that kind of a spiritual parent. You don't need that kind of a natural parent. You don't need that kind of anyone like that in authority. I'm not effectively watching for your souls when I do mess like that. Amen. We're going to close here. Thank you, Jesus. 3 John. There's only one chapter there. 3 John, the one chapter, verse 3 and 4. We'll stop here. Wow. We. Amen. Amen. This is what the Lord had us to do, I believe. 3 John, chapter 3. Verse 3 and 4. Does everyone have one? Have it already? Okay. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking, living, and ordering all your life in the truth. Verse 4. I had, this is me as a pastor too, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking and living and ordering the sphere of their lives in the truth. There is no greater joy. No greater joy. Hallelujah. That's everything for me. Ooh, that's everything for me. When I hear you improving in this area where you struggle, I don't care if it's just a mini step, but you're just moving forward. I used to drink 40 ounces, now I drink 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's improvement.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I used to smoke, 5 pounds of weed, I'm down to 2.
Yeah.
Pray for me. Pray for me, fella. You know what I'm saying? When you come into the things of God, your vices don't suddenly drop unless the Lord supernaturally removes them. Let's just be real with you. Your vices don't suddenly drop.
Amen.
But they should lessen because you have power to fight it now.
Amen.
And eventually, if it's alcohol, if it's smoking, Miss Darlene, Judy, Miss Darlene, testimony. It may take some, and of course, a little time is up to you because it's not the Lord's power don't work. We just got to decide to use it. We got to make that decision to go ahead and use what it is that we already have within us. Miss Darlene, Miss Judy, years smoking, and the Lord, she came and said, "Pastor, I quit. It's over." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Mama Crouch.
Yeah.
Papa, how many packs a day?
Two.
Two a day.
Wow.
For how long?
About 37 years.
37? 30-something
years?
30-something years.
Man, that's what he can do. That's what he can do.
Thank you, Lord.
God is a healer, brother.
Yes, he
just needs you to submit. He needs you to bow down and say, "Hey, all this is yours.
Amen.
All this is yours.
Amen.
I submit my life, my smoking, my drinking, whatever it is, to you. I ain't got them saved, but I submit that to you in Jesus' name."
Amen.
Am I right, Mr. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Won't he do it, Chris?
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Won't he do it? It's
good. One word.
I told you, man. Talking about telling the truth. And being hard, I was telling Chris the traditional social societies, how society looks at smoking and drinking and trick or drinking. Which is just a sin. I'm talking about those who I look at it on the negative, that drinking is a sin. And the Lord said, "That's not what I said in my word." Back and tell an alcoholic that drinking is not a sin. I can't do that. He said, "That's not what my word said. I did not say that drinking is a sin. They drink all in the Bible." I said, "Getting drunk is a sin. Wine is a mocker. It mocks you. Strong drink makes you raging and angry." Proverbs. "And they who partake of it are not wise." I didn't say about getting drunk. I'm like, man. Chris, can I see you for a moment? I'm nervous, fella. I gotta tell an alcoholic that he can drink according to the word, but don't get drunk. But I did it afraid. I'm going to be a real pastor, sticking to the word, no matter how it sounds rationally or logically.
Yes, Jesus.
But I told him, I said, Chris, I didn't tell you the right thing. I said, the word does not say you can't drink. You can drink, but you're not to get drunk. And that word there, telling him that he can drink, caused him to stop drinking. Put that in your pipe and smoke. That's crazy. but it shows the power of the word of God. That's why pastors need to just speak the truth. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. The power is in the word of God. I don't care how nervous I was and how whatever and how that don't sound right. You shouldn't do that. You're enabling him. But I was Satan on both shoulders, trying to get me not to tell that man that he can drink. Because the power then that's in the word of God slapped him all upside his head. All up in his mind.
Yes.
And took it away from him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May God use all kind of stuff, man. Hallelujah. Watch out, Miss Phyllisie. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. Just speak the word. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Most High. Just speak the word. Speak the word. Not opinions. Not theories. Not ideas. Speak the word. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that ruler said that my servant shall be obedient. Just speak the word only.
Yes.
That's a command to us, the pastor. Speak the word only. Amen. Let nobody care about what you're talking about. Yeah. Nobody need to hear your opinion.
No.
Glory be to God. Speak the word. Amen. Study the word and speak it. Hallelujah. Other than that, shut up.
Amen.
Shut your raggedy self up and set your crazy self down.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
My mother said, I don't know much about the word. Even I know that ain't right. She did.
Yeah.
She said, that man don't know more than I do. Let me up out of here. Hallelujah. Father God, I'm humbled by your greatness. By your greatness. The power in your word. Hallelujah. I pray that this word spoken will not just go out as, man, that was a good word, and then we just forget about it. Because, Father God, I've heard that ad nauseum for 30 years. That was a good word. Man, that sure was. And don't, no effect, no meditation on it. No intent to, or desire to do it. No intent to allow it to change their mind and alter their thoughts. Renovate their mind. But I pray that's not once named among us. That we will, as Pastor, my papa says, we will receive this word, meditate this word, and then do this word. That others may see our good works and glorify you.
Hallelujah.
Who is in heaven. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.